Wind Down with Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Or afternoon, or evening, or whenever you're listening to this. But it's Jana Kramer and Michael Kaufman for another episode of Wind Down.
Jana Kaufman.
Oh, hey.
Oh, hey.
Let's rebrand that.
Team Kaufman. All about the team.
What's going on, boo? You good?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I had to take the monitor away from you before we recorded this because you're going to be looking at it the whole time again.
Yeah, where'd it go?
Yeah, it gone. Jace is doing better, though.
He's doing so good. So good.
Yeah.
He's not screaming at night anymore, which is amazing. He's not throwing his lovey and wubby, and he's back to doing that really cute thing. Like, every time I put him in his crib, he'll stand up and then give me a kiss, and then he'll lay back down.
And, like, he, like, watches you walk out of the room.
Yeah,
like,
but he doesn't, like, throw the lovey and wubby at you. And his naps aren't great, but Alana, who's the good night sleep coach that...
we talked about two episodes ago.
Yeah, she's... I've been texting her, and she's been, you know, just, like, keep on it. Like, sometimes naps can be the one, like, a little bit harder, but... I mean, he's been giving us at least 45 minutes to an hour, so I'll take it. I'll take anything. The only, like, she even said, too, she's like, don't worry about the amount of time he slept. It's about just the quiet time of him in his crib, which I was like, oh, okay, I'm not stressed. She's like, as long as he's not, like, screaming the entire time, like, and he's just, is he just chilling there? And I'm like, yeah, he's just, he's not crying, so that's been... As long as he's not crying. It's the crying that gets me.
Oh, yeah. That wears us down. That's what, like, yesterday when you were gone and I was here during his nap, and it was like he woke up after 45 minutes, but he was just chilling. It wasn't until the last 10 that he started crying. So I was like, all right, that's good.
Yeah.
He's chilling.
No, that's really good. And then a lot of people on our Instagram, I'm going to say our Instagram. It's not my Instagram. I should just, like, rebrand it. Kramer and Mike girl. Kramer and Mike. I don't know. Kramer girl. Kramer boy.
The Kramer kids.
Kramer kids. But I had not, like, backlash on the ISR, but, like, because I posted the video of Jace.
Of him, the swimming?
Like, not being able to. He has. Like, I posted the one video of him where they were holding him up.
Right.
And then I posted the one of him jumping off the diving board. Or him, them, sorry. Correction, being thrown off the diving board.
Hurled off the diving board, yes.
And, you know, he's not there yet, but he will be. Like, I think by the end of this week, he'll have it. It takes you a little bit longer for that age. But it was so hard. And you weren't able to go because you had a meeting. But I saw Jolie do it, and she did great. She did amazing. You know, all of a sudden, she's finally... not relying on her floaties,
and she's proud of it,
and she's so proud of it, which just, like, makes me so happy, but also a little like, oh crap, now we have to, like, really watch her in the pool,
really watch
like,
her,
really watch
she's
her now.
She's a little
overconfident
for sure.
So now it's like, oh dang, now we can't go back to the floaties, which was like our babysitter in a way.
Like, all right, yeah, you can go outside.
Well, no, we were always outside with her. Yeah, that's correct.
That's not get it twisted.
No, but. So, you know, Jolie did it. And so then I went to go get Jace. And I'm like, is he done? And they're like, oh, no, he's going off the diving board. And I was like, what? Huh? And so I had my friend Linda there with me. And I was like, I can't watch it. So I'm going to turn away. But I want you to record it because I'm going to watch
it. Oh, she recorded it?
She recorded it. But then when I heard the splash, I turned around. And then I was like, roll over, Jace. Roll over, Jace. And, you know, he didn't get it. And obviously they, like, corrected him and helped him. But... you know, a lot of people are like, how could you, like, throw your kid in the water? And that seems a little rough. And for some people it is. And that's why, like, our swim or the ISR teacher that's teaching this class is, he's like, I might not be your guy if you want someone to be like, you know.
Like, your kids aren't here to play splishy splashy.
Splishy, yeah, that's what he said. He's like, if you're here to play splishy splashy, if you want me to play splishy splashy with your kids, he's like, I ain't your guy.
Yeah. He's like, you can leave right now.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not going to cuddle. I'm not going to hold him. Like, I'm going to be like, you're fine, and dunk.
He's like, I'm going to teach him how to survive.
Yeah, and he's like, what was he saying? The other stuff, he was like he said the floaties were
basic, the worst thing you could ever do to your kid.
Which I'm like, oh, okay, cool. Pat on my back. Bad mom. Hello. But I think it's one of those things where I started to really do research and, you know, we've known people that have not known people, but I've seen stories, and especially the, you know, the sweet, so many kids that they say over 90% of childhood deaths are in the back, or drownings are in your swimming pool.
Right.
And as a pool owner and as a mom, like, that's terrifying. So I was like, crap, we have to. And like, my biggest fear is, even though we have a cover that they could stand on and be fine, it's still scary.
It is. It really is. And I think we've done a great job. I mean, being hyper vigilant and keeping it closed at all times. You know, if it's not, we're out there, and just never really taking our eyes off of them and taking that for granted. Because I could see why, right? People think they're comfortable with their own home.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm just going to go in and do this real quick. I'll be right back or whatever. And it's
30 seconds it takes. 30 seconds.
Yeah. So I get it. But
so I would just, it might be a little rough, but I will just say to mamas out there, you know, to do the training. And I would say, I wish I would have done it earlier with Jace. Like, I wish I did it when he was a baby.
Yeah. But, you know.
And Jolie too, because she's four. So like,
yeah, but you know, it's one of those things. Like, even though the teacher said, like, the puddle jumpers, the floaty things are like the worst you can do, it's, and you do things in your time that's convenient for you, that you know that works with your schedule, that works with your beliefs, that works with what you want to do. So
yeah, but the second we got a pool, that's why I was like, we have to get this kid.
Yeah, like, I mean, once honestly,
Jace was like walking and able to open the door, I was like, and we're going to lessons,
right,
to survive.
Especially once he started being a little velociraptor and opening the doors.
Yeah, now that he can open the doors, I'm like, okay, yes, the gate is technically closed, but what if? And I'm like, I just don't want to play any of those things. So,
no,
I'm sorry if people had a hard time looking at it, because trust me, it wasn't easy for this mama either. But
it's in his best
survival
interest.
Skills.
Yeah.
You
know, we just got off a call for our book.
Yeah.
You know, talking about like our virtual book tour and how the pre-sales are going and all of that. And we're very taken back by the response that a lot of our followers, you know, have come through and pre-ordered the book. So if you haven't yet, you won't be let down. It's going to be amazing. We're working on some exclusive content, like a private Facebook group if you pre-order, where we'll jump on there, you know, what, every day or at least once a week or something like that. We're going to work out the schedule and be posting that stuff, but there's definitely going to be a lot of incentive out there for pre-ordering. So
maybe even a song, I guess.
Yeah, go to maybe even a song, who knows.
JanandMike.com.
Go get your book,
and let's take a quick break and we'll be back. So we have an awesome guest joining the show today, Nikki Hilton. Did you ever watch, by the way, the Paris Hilton show with Sophia?
Simple Life?
Yeah, Nicole Richie.
Man, that was like high school.
I feel like that was the OG of reality shows.
It was one. It had to be one of them for sure.
I love Nick. I mean, I know Nikki wasn't on the show, but I always loved how Nikki just always seemed very, not that Paris wasn't, but Nikki always just seemed very like classy.
Well, Paris was just had her own stretch of bad publicity, so.
Did she?
Yeah, just, you know, being...
I guess I don't really remember.
Intoxicated or, you know, sex tape leaking out and stuff like that, so...
I mean, but look at the Kardashians. It worked for her. Right. Do you know Kim Kardashian was actually Paris Hilton's assistant?
I remember that.
Like, she was her wardrobe... Sold her wardrobe.
Look at me now.
Look at me. No, but Nikki has a new shoe line out, so we're excited to talk to her.
Mm-hmm. And she's married with two kids, and so we'll dive into deep... what she's going on during her quarantine family life.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
How's everything with you?
Great. I mean, I'm excited about what we're doing. You have a movie coming up?
Oh, I don't want to say anything yet.
Potential movie coming up.
Potential.
That if it goes through, Jana's trying to get me to play a part in it. Which would be fantastic.
It would be so fun, but you're too cute. You're too cute for, like, I just don't think you could get the role because you're just too good looking.
But I look like your co-star's friend or brother.
And the only thing is, I don't know if it's actually going to happen because with everything COVID, I feel like I have massive PTSD from the Canada adventure where it's like, you book a movie. Just kidding. You film one scene and we're taking everything and you don't get paid. Okay, bye.
Psych.
But no, I mean, I hope so. I'm trying to stay positive. It's just been, it's a little hard to stay positive in 2020 when I feel like certain things are kind of being taken from you.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I might have said this on here before, at least with a group of our friends, where I was like, 2021 has some high expectations. Like, people are going to have their expectations through the roof for 2021 because of the way this year's gone. So,
well, it's interesting. My therapist, she sent me this quote. For so long, you have tried to see the positive. You have tried to keep a good balance between being a realist and an optimist. You knew the future was lined with unknowns, but you also had this hope. Maybe this was finally going to be your year. I mean, how many times have we looked in the new year? By the way, this is unquote. If, like, when you start a new year, you're like, this is okay, this is going to be my year. Because last year this happened and this happened, so mm-hmm. now this is going to be my year. Have you ever had that? Or do guys not think that way? Because I know girls do. Like, you know me, I've cried for the first 25 years of my New Year's because I'm like, it's not what I thought it would be.
I mean,
so I'm just, yeah, I'm
I don't know if it's a guy thing. I know for me, I don't put that much weight into New Year's. Like, I know a lot of people do, but I just never have. I've never been like, this is the start of my year. I think it's, you know, in my professional career, it's been like the end of my year. And so my timeline was always a little different because I was like working. Sometimes I was working. Sometimes the last week of the season wasn't until after New Year's. So it's like I'm in the middle of working towards the tail end of working. My year's just ending. Like, I'm getting ready to like shut it down for a little bit.
Right.
You know, as opposed to like new year, new me. Like, I'm starting over. It's like, nah, I'm going to lay on the couch for like 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, and rest my body. So I've just, I don't know. Maybe that's part of it where, you know, those middle 5 years or 5-6 years that I was in that world really kind of changed my mindset on it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
By the way, that was from Morgan Harper Nichols. And she basically goes on to finish it by saying, the year of things that, you know, your year, the year things finally fell in place, the year you finally stepped out of your comfort zone to embrace new unknowns. You had a passionate vision. You had a plan for how things could go. So she goes on to all these things. And then she goes, here's the thing. These are questions you might have to sit with for a little while. And this is also true. It's worth it to keep trying to make the most of where you are, trusting that right here, this July, you can still know a meaningful life, even though it's not what you thought it was going to look like. You can keep seeking goodness in everyday life, even if it's hard to think positively about the future. You can still try to make the most of where you are with music, conversations, writing, nature, knowing the future will arrive when it is meant to arrive. And for now, you have this moment. It's not what you thought it would be, but perhaps the end of July can be its own kind of beautiful. Perhaps you can only be here right now, and that's okay.
I love that. I absolutely love that, because that's what I was thinking in my head is, why wait until January for it to be like a fresh start on something?
Mm-hmm.
Why wait till the new year to start something you've always wanted to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I bring that up because I feel like we're halfway to the new year. And yeah. I feel like people might be, I mean, shoot, I had that mindset like, well, maybe we should wait to put our book out because, you know, we're going to miss doing the book tour. We're going to miss doing this. Like, but it's like, why pause things? Because it might not look the way it's supposed to. And my friend Mallory Irwin, who's so sweet, she was like, are you going to be able to go on a book tour? And I'm like, no. And she's like, man, she's like, I know you were so excited about that. She's like, but maybe there's going to be some beautiful thing within right. the stuff that, you know, you're able to do at home. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, I love you. Thanks for the optimism, you mm-hmm. know, and that like helps too. But I think that's, I don't know, it's just something to maybe like introspectively look inside of you and go, okay, what am I pausing on in my life right now? And how can I unpause this, like, but this uncertainty? Because like, even like with the movie or with maybe what you want to do, Mike, it's like you're afraid to almost be positive because you're like, will it be taken away?
Right. Yeah.
But it's, to not stop either way, I guess is the point.
No, I love that. And I appreciate you sharing that. And I think everyone will appreciate you sharing that because it is eye-opening just to make the most of the day. And like you said, why wait? Like, why put something off when you can do it now? And yeah, I love it.
So what are you putting off that you would want to start now?
Two things that have actually been on my mind a lot recently.
Okay.
One is I mean, I feel like everybody and their cousin gets their real, wants to get their real estate license these days. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you and I have talked about it a little bit. Nick, our realtor, has talked about a little, talked to us about me doing it a little bit.
Has he?
Yes, he has really? Mentioned it. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought he'd be upset about it. I was like, I don't want to mention it to Catherine.
No, no, he's mentioned it because he's like to have kind of like a partner in things.
Oh, wow.
But I think for us, with what we want to do in the future with, you know, our money and like finances, investments, it would just make sense to have it, mm-hmm. you know? Yeah. So that's one thing that I'm like, why wait?
Sure.
You know, this is the perfect time where we're not traveling. We don't have these shortened weeks because of, we have to go somewhere or do this or do that. It's like, I can, yeah, we don't have as much help with the kids, but I can set aside time where it's an hour or two during nap time a day or whatever.
Oh, do you think you could?
Instead of taking my 2-hour lunches? I don't know.
No, but that's, but I don't ask, I don't say that from a snarky place. I say that from a place like, that's what you need.
You know? For sure.
Like,
it is.
The longest time I was like, God, couldn't he be doing something else right now? But then I'm like, just because I choose to spend my 2-hour break doing certain things mm-hmm. that might seem more in someone else's mind, like proactive, but that's what fuels me. Like right. that's what feeds me.
Right.
And that's where I've kind of stopped to be like, no, like that's what you need for you to be centered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To have something to strive for.
So I'm afraid to take that. Like you shouldn't, I hope you don't take that away.
No, not at all. So that, and then I just keep dragging my feet on learning French and becoming fluent in French. So, oui. Yeah. So, I think those are my two things just for this next 6 months to really take and, make the most of. So,
well, I want to talk about a little bit more about that and how I can, because I think it's important to help your partner, what you can do to help, but let's pause on that because we have Nikki Hilton in the waiting room. So let's get her on.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi.
Nikki, how are you doing?
I'm Jana and this is my husband, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Great.
We're good. We're just like surviving over here. How are you doing with the quarantine stuff?
I'm in LA now. So I was in Long Island from, let's see, March 12th to July 1st.
Okay.
So like lockdown in quarantine. And then I finally mustered up the strength to come see my family in LA, which has been really nice.
How has it been with the kids during this time? Because your kids are, how old are they again?
I have 2.5 and almost 4. How many do you guys have?
So we have a 4-year-old and we have a 20-month-old.
Okay, so very, very similar.
Yeah.
So you guys were doing the homeschooling and all that?
Well, we tried to do the homeschooling for Jolie. We got to letter G and then I was like, I'm not meant to be a teacher. I don't have the patience. And I'm like, let's just go outside and do chalk or something because I can't do this. And, you know, he was getting just as equally as frustrated as I was. And so we pulled the plug on it, but because we were putting,
you dropped out.
She dropped out of her fourth grade preschool class.
yeah. So we try. We have obviously. I think a lot of people are going to have a greater appreciation for teachers, right, through all of this.
Oh,
so
yes.
Yeah. Once we got halfway through the alphabet, we're like, yeah, we weren't meant to be teachers. So let's just go play because that's our job.
What did you do?
What I ended up doing. Well, we had Zoom school, which was brutal. Because it's all the children and they're muted and they're crying and it's not their turn and they all want to do a 20-minute show and tell of their favorite whatever.
Right.
And that was exhausting. So I ended up doing a mini camp on my lawn.
Love it. Which was
amazing. There was a few kids in the neighborhood that had all been quarantined and not left their house. So we got 2 teenagers from the neighborhood and did this little mini camp with like 5 or 6 children. We did arts and crafts. We did sports. And it was so much fun.
I highly recommend it. Yeah, that's
exactly
what we're doing this fall for her. So we decided that we're going to potentially bring her back two days. Mm-hmm. And the other three, we're going to do that same thing where it's like, okay, you're going to do crafts over at Pamlin's house. You're going to come here and we're going to do, you know, musical theater. And then like, and then we'll learn over here. So it's like, we're going to rotate too, because, you know, it's just like, they're at this, at that age, it's like, let them have fun, but also have experience too. So.
Yes. And I would say that Disney Plus app saved my life. When they released Frozen 2 early, it was very exciting day in our household.
No
Did
question.
You guys watch Trolls?
Yes.
We're on the Cocomelon. Our 20-month-old loves Cocomelon on YouTube. So it's like.
Yes. YouTube, yep. Another godsend.
No question. How do the kids feel? Did you, the whole family, go back to LA right now?
Yes, we're all here.
How do they feel
it's
being
been
back?
Nice.
Yeah.
Because we're staying with my parents, and they have their own little room here. Mm-hmm. And it's just nice for them to be with people other than my husband and I.
By the way, speaking of, since this is a relationship show, have you guys, I mean, do you normally spend a lot of time together, or was the quarantine just like the first time you guys have spent like so much time together?
We both travel quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But no, we spend a lot of time together, but this was a lot of time. And I think most people can say that that was one of the silver linings, because at what other point in your life are you going to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with your family for 100+ consecutive days?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think quarantine was actually great for our relationship. I keep reading all these statistics about divorce rates going through the roof.
Right.
But I am very grateful. We didn't really butt heads. The largest fight we would have is what we're cooking for dinner that night. It was really...
Which, by the way, is very exhausting.
It is exhausting.
Yes.
That's why I just kind of took it over.
That's why he just does it.
The cook?
Oh, Mike.
I am.
Yes, my husband too.
Yeah, I couldn't cook anything. It's frozen pizzas or home chef, but you know, this guy he cooks everything, and then I clean. So I love to clean. That's what I like to do.
What's funny is, I think, you know, with love languages, Jana isn't really an act of service, but I think she realized that she's more of that, because I hadn't seen her looked at me with so much love when I told her what was for dinner without even asking. I was like, hey, I didn't say, what do you want for dinner? I said, this is what's for dinner today. This is what's for dinner tomorrow. She looked at me like I was her Prince Charming. Like, I don't have to decide or say anything. Yes, let's do it.
Yes. Where do you guys live?
We live in Nashville now. We used to live in LA. We just moved back to Nashville last year because with the kids and school. Yeah.
Great timing.
Really, really good timing on our half. But yeah, no, it was just, we love Nashville. So it's nice to be back here for sure for the kids.
Nikki, for you, has work at all been inhibited because of all this quarantine, or have you been able to be creative and kind of come up with new things during this time?
I mean, it's definitely challenging to even be able to do work, to even be able to do this right now without my kids rushing in and screaming is, you know, quite a miracle. But have I been creative? Yes. Yes. I think what I've learned from my friends also is that so many people are trying to be creative in the sense of pivoting what they're going to do. What's the next step? Because so many jobs, occupations are just not possible right now. So everyone's attempting to pivot.
Is that when you started the shoe? How long have you been working on your shoe line for?
I've been doing the shoes for like 2 years now.
Amazing.
And amazingly, the shoe sales have been doing pretty well, all things considered, because I think they are the ideal working from home shoe. I don't know if you've seen the collection, but it's lots of like chic loafers, ballet flats.
Yes.
It's home. None of us are wearing heels anytime soon.
Is that what inspired this specific line, was because just everyone's at home so much right now?
I think just becoming a mother. I live in ballet flats. I just think they're comfy, chic, and a better alternative than a sneaker. And so I've just worn them forever, but I've really embraced them these past few months because I'm not one of those girls who wants to walk around in slippers. I don't know. Putting on a proper shoe makes me feel a little human during this.
No, 1,000%. Where can people actually shop for the shoes too?
They're on my website, NikkiHilton.com or Zappos.
French oh, I love Zappos, shoes. Yeah. And it's, yeah, it is your second collection with French Soul. But
yes,
it does say, though, first ever venture into the footwear business. But that's not true then, is it? Because it's your second collection?
I've been doing design since I'm 17.
Yeah.
I started doing handbags and then got into clothing, jewelry. But I've never done footwear. So the French Soul collab was my first. And I'm really enjoying it.
That's awesome. Have you had a hard time, though? I know Mike and I were talking about this when we knew that we were going to interview you. And, you know, Mike brought up a good question. Do you want to ask it, babe?
Oh, yeah. We were just wondering, you know, with someone with a family like yours, right? Did you find it beneficial but also difficult in order to break away from that name in order to build your own brand? Or was it still beneficial at the same time? Like, kind of where was that, you know, relationship for you?
I mean, I would say it's a double-edged sword. Your name can certainly open doors, but ultimately the product speaks for itself. And especially in this day and age, a store, a retailer is not going to stock your product if it's not moving.
Right.
So no matter, your name can only take you so far. This is, you know, a business. And if you're not moving,
sure,
you're not going to be carried.
What do you want to be like go into next after this? Is there something that like you're like, oh, like why am I not doing this project? Because we were kind of talking about earlier before you came on things that were pausing in our life that we're mm-hmm. kind of dragging our feet on.
I would love to get into children's wear.
Oh, yes.
I know that sounds a bit cliche.
No,
but
it's not, because there's not many places, and that's frustrating because whenever I look, I have a really hard time finding, like I'll find one piece of clothing there, one piece of clothing there, but it's nothing where I'm like, exactly. I can buy from one real site unless I just go to Carter's. But, you know, not that anything's wrong with Carter's, but I just would like, you know, to find a different with other cool things. So that my kid isn't wearing the same thing
as the other kid next to him. Yeah.
Like I dropped Jolie off one day and I'm like, it was a Target. I think it was a Target shirt, and
three girls
were wearing her same shirt. And I was like,
Target makes really cute children's stuff.
It's so cute. But yeah, I'm like, please, 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 please do that. Cause I would love to be able to have somewhere else to shop where I can shop for all different kinds of clothes for my kids.
Yeah. I did a Mommy and Me collab a few years ago with this brand with dresses and tops matching with the mommy. And that's really the only thing I've done in children, but I don't know. I think people love dressing up their children. And if you do it at a good price point, at good quality, I don't know. I think there's room for more brands.
Speaking on that, have you enjoyed dressing your daughter or your son more?
No, she doesn't have a son. Two
girls. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, your girl.
You know, her name is Theodora, but we call her Teddy, so that's a fair mistake. Okay. I love dressing them up. They love dressing up. Yeah. And they know I like when they wear pretty dresses. So they will just run in my room all dressed up
every morning,
all excited to show off what they're wearing.
Jolie had a phase where she only wore dresses.
Would scream if
she scream if she had to wear anything other than dresses.
Yeah, really. Hide her dresses.
Yeah, I know. We had to at one point. But now we just embrace it.
Are you a Frozen family?
Of course.
1,000%. Like, she sings Let It Go all the freaking time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, and then Frozen 2, I mean, it was game over with that one. And that soundtrack is so good. So,
love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. But all right, everyone, go to NikkiHilton.com, get her awesome shoes with her collab from French Soul. Nikki Hilton, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Nikki.
Thank
you guys. Okay, have a good week.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, so, oh, she's so sweet. I feel like she's just like a very chill, cool girl. And now that our kids are the same age, like we're basically best friends, just like me and Melissa Gorga.
You're best friends with everybody.
Well, I wasn't the other day. We won't bring that story up, but sometimes I can be a little sarcastic and I think I offended someone. But I can own up and apologize, even though, anyways. Should we say what happened, by the way, or no? We don't have to.
No.
You don't want to? No, not that. What happened right before we started recording, or no?
Sure.
You want it?
Yeah, I don't remember. Even though it happened like 30 minutes ago. Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
So... What? We don't have to.
No, let's do it.
No, because I don't want people to think I'm like dragging like...
No, this was so long ago. This was like a little different, but not really.
Never mind.
Bring it up.
Well, right before we started recording, I was like, I got this text message from, and I'm not going to say her name, mm-hmm. obviously.
From Anonymous.
She texted me and I was like, what? I was like trying to like, I'm like, who is this person? Like what? Like the name. And I was like, oh. And Mike's like, what? And I was like, that's the first girl that you cheated on me with when we were dating. Because she was a fan of mine, an Instagram fan. And she had reached out to me on Instagram. And we, in a way, became friends. It was kind of weird. Like, we had this friendship in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And she had been in a few relationships. And so she texted me. And I haven't really read it yet. But she basically goes, it's been a long time since we talked. But she just wanted to say thank you and tell you how strong and inspiring both you and Mike have been. I came across your podcast recently and I've been listening to it to help me through my marriage and sharing it with my husband. Still carrying on 6 years of certain things. So I'm not going to share those details, but like she had confided in me about some things that like were going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some things have clicked in their relationship. And, you know, she's like, I thought it was ironic to come across your book coming out. So maybe, you know, even more that it can help us. She goes, I'm so happy for you and Mike, as happy as you are and have overcome all the struggle. It really still gives me hope that we can do it too. So thank you for being so real and putting it out there. It helps more than you know. And I obviously just got it and I haven't texted her back, but I mean, I haven't talked to her in probably a couple of years. I think we kind of stopped talking because of, you know, the obvious, but it's weird how it's kind of that silver lining where even though like our lives, like maybe that had to happen, not saying like because certain things like maybe meeting me and you and like us and like then having it weave through her relationship, like yes, it was so traumatic when I found out when we were dating, but we're able to now be like, wow, like we've helped someone. I've been able to help someone. You've been able to help someone. You've been able to help her husband. You've been able, right. You know, where it's like, that's just such a small world, but also such a beauty in it too.
Yeah.
Like beauty through pain.
Yeah, no, it is. And I mean, I commend you for even being able to look at it that way.
Well, there's certain people I wouldn't be able to.
No, I understand yeah, that. Yeah, I think this, yeah, this is a little different to it in a sense, but still, the fact that you're able to take something that was the start of pain between in our relationship,
mm-hmm.
and be able to look at it through the lens of, well, maybe that was supposed to happen for all of this, the positive things that have come out of some of this
mm-hmm.
to happen.
Yeah.
Obviously we wish we could go back and could redo it. Of course. But no, that's encouraging though.
Yeah.
That's encouraging on both ends.
And that's the thing. I mean, I think in that situation too, it's just knowing that, and I will say this too, because a lot of people, I know something when we talked about you talked about it. I didn't even bring it up. Just make that right now. But like when you were doing Mike Monday and you brought up our 4-year discovery day,
mm-hmm.
you know, that got picked up or whatever. And a lot of people were like, why would you celebrate that? And I did say something to someone. I was like, we're not celebrating this anniversary.
No.
What we're doing is we're recognizing it.
Acknowledging.
We're acknowledging it. And we're also, you know, and we're also saying like, wow, like look how far we've come from even just last year.
Yeah.
And then the year before that. And then like, it's not about, because the thing is, you're not going to forget the date. You're not going to forget certain, you know, do you forget your wedding date? No. Like you remember certain dates that impact your life, whether good or bad. And I think, you know, someone else is like, oh my God, would you stop talking about it already? Well, here's the deal. This is our, you know, or dragging Mike through the mud. And I'm like, A, he brought it up. I was not going to say anything. But when you shared about it, I was like, okay, like that's amazing that he shared that. Cause you know, I wasn't going to.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you shared it, it was when I wrote that post. And it's not about dragging anybody through the mud. What it is, and just like with that text message, it's about acknowledging growth and acknowledging like how we can help other people.
Right.
Like this is our podcast, as we talk about things that we've learned and how we're still learning.
Right. We talk about things that are uncomfortable because of what we've been through. So exactly to your point, it was brought up to acknowledge the growth, and that's what we want to inspire other couples that have been through difficult situations, whether the same as we have or similar, is how you can find that silver lining, just to kind of what you're talking about with the text message, is how to look for positivity so that date or that moment or that physical place or trigger doesn't have to affect you with the same amount of magnitude that it did from the first day to years later. You know, so it's anyone who, clearly the people saying that, either even if they've been through that, something like that, they still have a lot of pain and shame around it, or they haven't been through it, because anyone who has could understand and appreciate how much they would like to probably get to the point where they can just acknowledge it and connect over it.
And again, we would not bring it up all the time, but we are on the platform that we do bring it up because it's part of our story.
Yeah. It's part of what we do. It's part of
how to help.
Yeah. It's just like, do you want to get a tattoo from someone who doesn't have any tattoos?
No.
Probably not. Do you want to read a relationship book on a relationship by someone who hasn't been through shit? Probably not. So we've been through this.
I'm dragging you through the mud. Am I dragging you through the mud?
No.
Okay.
I brought it up. People are silly.
Well, anyways, so yes. Back to the French, into the, how can I help you in getting to your goal?
Great question.
Thank you. But I ask that because I think that's something where we have to ask, like where whoever's listening, that's what you should ask your partner too.
Mm-hmm.
Because they can't do it. I don't think they can do it alone.
No, two things that come up for me. The first one is just with my personality, and I think maybe a guy in general, puberty, sorry, that it has to be like my idea, right? Like if you started asking me, hey, so when are you gonna study today? Or hey, when are you gonna do this today? Hey, do you need me to watch the kids so you can study? I'll be like, that would make me like not want to do it.
That's so funny.
Because I'd feel like you're being my mom, or I would make up that you're being passive and that you were wanting me to do it. And that if I didn't do it, then it would be an issue.
So, or it would be validating that you don't get things done or
right,
whatever.
Right, like whatever
the story
it may be.
You make up.
So that's the first thing. And second is, when I do it, when I do tell you ahead of time, say, hey, from this time to this time, whether it's nap time or not, I'll try to do it during nap time, but say it's not for whatever reason. And I tell you ahead of time and say, hey, from 8 to 9, I'm going to study or whatever. Like I said, I'll probably do it during nap time, but to treat it as work, where it's like, all right, I said for this hour, I'm going to study, or I'm going to
respect what you need around it.
Right. So it's not like, hey, can you come help me, knowing that it's not quote unquote work.
Sure.
But I'm working towards something.
Mm.
where it's not like, hey, can you come out here for a minute and help me? The kids are being crazy. Like, yes, if it's everyone's going nuts and I need to come help, then I need to come help. But to treat it as such, to treat it as if I'm unavailable. Because, you know, if you, just like you coming in the room, if you have to post something or whatever, if I let the kids keep coming in and out, you'd be like, I asked for an hour or 5 minutes or whatever to do something, and doesn't feel like your time is being respected.
Got it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
I like it. Do we have any emails? Yeah. I had a really good one from Wind Down, but
read it.
Wind Down Podcast.
All right, here's one from Jessica. My question comes based on my experience with my longtime boyfriend. He has a past of cheating on me with multiple people, even including a so-called friend. We have worked through our issues, mostly. And much like Mike, he owns his mistakes and allows me to feel any and everything I feel. Recently, I heard you can't truly forgive until you've forgiven the other person, the female. At first, I thought, no way. But recently, I've been dreaming of a conversation with her in which she's apologizing and I'm accepting. Having that conversation in my sleep makes me feel like there's closure and makes me wonder if I should reach out to her. Would you, or have you ever done this? Do you think it would help or hurt any progress me and my boyfriend have made in the last 3 years? Interesting.
What are your thoughts?
So when I read this email, it made me think of anyone who's familiar with 12 Steps, made me think of Step 9, which for those of you who don't know, I'll read. Step 9 in any 12-step program is make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Let me preface that by saying Step 8 is make a list of all persons you have harmed and become willing to make amends. So Step 9 is making amends to the people that you've harmed, unless to do so would injure them or others. Now, obviously not physically injure them, but emotionally harm, hurt, or injure them. My thought on that is, again, kind of like I was saying with this, the step work there is, you'd have to be really careful on if communicating with that person is going to actually help your relationship or not. Because if Jessica, if she wants to reach out to the person that he cheated on her with, I mean, she said multiple people, but the so-called friend is the one that seems like it's really bothering her. And say the so-called friend doesn't apologize or isn't open to it. That's just going to make things worse. So you're going in with these expectations that may not be met. And then, which will just set you up for failure. And then you don't know how that's going to, even talk to this person in general might even bring up feelings. You know, triggered or old feelings that may put a wall between you and your boyfriend. So I don't know. It's just, it's thin ice. I would say no, because the connection of moving forward is between you and your boyfriend, not anyone else. What are your thoughts?
Don't do it.
Yep.
It makes it worse. I mean, I wish I could take back all the calls,
mm-hmm.
because it just makes it so much worse, and it drives a bigger wedge between you and your partner,
mm-hmm.
because there's things you'll ask that you don't want to know,
mm-hmm.
and it just is. It's like my therapist says, is it hurt or harm? It's going to harm you, and if something's going to harm you, don't do it. So
yeah, I agree.
Mike and Jana, I'm 33 years old, married for 15 years to my high school sweetheart. We have been blessed with two boys. I found out my husband has been watching porn for a long time. We went through this when we first got married, and I thought it went away. Every question I ask about him watching, he just replies, I don't know. Then he once told me that it was my fault because I am moody towards him. I don't know if he's a sex addict or not. I've been trying different things in the bedroom or to please him, but I don't know if that is enough or what I should do. He's refusing counseling or any treatment. I've lost all my trust, and I don't know how to gain it back and be happy again.
Mm. Good question. There's a lot of meat on that bone. Here's the thing. Now, she said they had a conversation around porn early in their marriage,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't know what that conversation entailed, right? Like, mm-hmm. we don't know if she said, as a boundary, or I don't like it, or I'd appreciate if you don't, or it's disrespectful towards me, or I consider it cheating, whatever it may be. Or if she said, well, don't do it all the time. So, because, I mean, shoot, for a lot of people, masturbation is still normal. You know what I mean? It's still a normal thing that people do. That a lot of people are able to do without it taking away from their relationship. Mm-hmm. Now, addict or not, just the way I am now, I do believe that even if you're not an addict, it can drive a wedge with your connectivity with your partner. That's just my personal belief. I think over time it can. They just need to have, she needs to set her boundaries around it.
And consequences for the boundaries of boundaries broken, and live up to the, in both, you know, like if.
But I'd also, I'd also like to ask her too, is like, is it that she just doesn't like it and she feels disrespected? Or is it, can she see and feel the disconnect in their marriage? Like.
Question, do you think porn is something that does draw a disconnection from a relationship?
Like I was just saying, I think that porn addiction or not can drive a wedge.
For sure.
So, I mean, that's tough. I think she just needs to, put down the boundaries, and they need to have consequences around those boundaries and just have that conversation. It's tough.
Well, let's all go watch a PG-rated film right now. Let's go watch Frozen 2 with Nikki Hilton.
Well, just...
Starring Frozen 2 with Nikki Hilton.
Just leave it at this with food for thought is make sure you and your partner are clear about boundaries and communicate around, you know, some of these tough conversations. Because when there's too much room for interpretation, it can cause, you know, a big issue.
Agree. And you guys, whatever's inside of you, stop prolonging it.
Do it.
We got a half of a year left and it's going to be amazing. Love you guys.
Later.